would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Episode 89, Paul and Barry.
I'm Barry and Paul.
Hello, listeners. Today's episode is Dark Elf Army Review, Revolution Edition.
Revolution Edition. Dark Elves.
Mmm.
Dark Elves. Another bunch of elves.
Another bunch of elves.
I do love my elves, but not wood elves. God damn, no. Not those motherfucking things. Paul's made me look at wood elf stuff before, so I'm all fucking spiky and wound up now already.
Bro,
it's like a red rag to a bull.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're going to be talking about dark elves, the second of our elves.
Yeah. Have you seen?
Or the same elf now? There's just all one load of elves.
Yeah. Have you seen the pictures of the new elf faction for AOS? The underwater elves.
Sea elves.
Sea elves. Yeah.
I thought they were witch elves or something.
Yeah, that was a faction.
Witch elves.
Witch elves. And
there's tree elves. I've seen those.
They're not really elves, are they? But anyway, so they're doing a faction of underwater elves, which are like riding turtles and
unicorns and turtles.
Like eels and stuff. And you're like, hang on, how can they be flying their sea creatures? And it's like the fluff goes that they're creating a mist. So these sea animals can exist
elves,
on land.
Right? Yeah,
it's like interesting concept. I mean, the turtle especially looks straight. You ever seen what the pictures of Discworld looks like? Yeah, it looks
on
like
the back of
to
top,
me. It looks like that.
Yeah. Gotta give them what they like. Don't elf players are a certain breed, aren't they?
Yeah.
In love with Legolas.
Right.
So anyway. What have you been doing in the wide world that is Paul's world? It's been 2 weeks.
It's been 2 weeks, and why has it been 2 weeks, Barry?
It's been 2 weeks because I've been ill. So.
Yeah. So did you want to give an apology about that?
Oh, yeah, well, sorry, I've been ill. basically, what it is, I've got hypothyroxia, which is a problem with my thyroid gland, and it means that when it starts playing up, it feels like I have no battery. So I've just run out of batteries. And then I go to the doctor, have some blood tests, get some more thyroid juice. And it feels like I'm re-energised.
Sweet thyroid juice. Yes.
It feels like, I've got a new set of batteries. But it's been annoying because it's only come on in the last year, and that's the third time I've gone through this, where you just kind of, over a period of a month or 6 weeks, you just literally run out of energy, and you get out of bed tired. So, that's all. We're back up. We've been rebooted. Mark 3. So that should be good until these batteries run out.
Yep, and then you get some more sweet juice.
More sweet juice. So that's what you missed last week.
Yep.
I missed quite a lot last week, actually. I cancelled quite a few things in the end.
Yeah.
That tends to happen when you're having trouble staying away.
Did you do
your
magic club?
I have no choice. I have to do that. I dragged my sorry ass in. I wasn't very good. Because another thing, it makes you quite mentally slow.
Yeah.
On top of the million of other, you just wouldn't believe. But you look at this, and it's like, just fucking kill me. If this is the amount of stuff that's going to go wrong, if it goes wrong. But so anyway, that's good. Let's not talk about medical stuff because it's like busman's holiday for you.
No, I mean, I've never been ill, so it's interesting.
Never been ill. That's worse. Your Achilles heel.
Interesting to hear.
Just don't get stabbed in the
your
heel.
Problems.
Don't get stabbed in that heel. Right, so Paul's World, 2 weeks.
Yes.
More than 2 weeks.
Yeah. So, games-wise, I started our club's little Necromunda campaign, which is quite fun.
Saw a bit of that online.
Yeah. It's good. It's
people
good.
See them infused. Yeah. Nice terrain.
Yeah. It's Clarkie's bulkheaded, MDF terrain. Looks fantastic. I just simply sprayed it gold, silver. And we've had a couple of games of that, and there's only a few of us. Darren's playing it, Nick's playing it, I'm playing it, and Clarkie will play it as well. Hopefully Anthony, maybe, we'll see. But that's all you need it to be. It's a good little game system. We were going through it. Like I've read the campaign, like how to play it now, set up, and you develop a lot slower than you did before in the previous edition of Necromunda,
right.
But how you develop has changed quite a bit. You're gaining, each character's gained experience points, and then they can buy upgrades with those experience points, so you can choose a bit more.
There's no rolling.
Well, no, you then, like, either A or B, you know, you still, like, have, you. If you spend more experience points, you can choose a skill, but if you spend less, you've got to roll for it, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway, it's a much... in every way, this modern Necromunda game system is better than the old one. You know,
okay, that wouldn't be that hard. Although people love the fluff and the models, the game's pretty wanky.
Okay, fair enough. But this is a good game, and the fluff is pushed further. You know, like, so I am, once I've finished my, currently my painting, I'm doing the Skaven in a Shadespire. But once I've done them, I can do the Orlocks for Necromunda.
I'm trying to remember the original game. Wasn't it like Vansar or something? Were those things? They the guys with all
seen,
the money.
Have you seen
money.
The, have you seen the models? Like the,
I'm sure they're like RoboCop now.
Oh my god, they look more like high tech than anything
or
else.
Or battle suits or something.
Yeah, they literally they look like they're carrying other cultures, other races' technology on them. They look like, and you compare that to it's Goliath. What's you got? I got steroids and a big hammer. And they're like, oh, fair enough. Well, yeah, like I'm Vansar. I've got this kind shield like here and this super gun. You've never seen before, and it's like, ah!
There's only three of us, we killed 20 of you. Because the other thing was that you bugged out, I don't know if you still bug out at half.
Yes,
so that was really easy to do.
You will start taking bottle tests earlier, but once you are bottled, you don't automatically run away. You start then rolling individually. Right. It's quite a complex rule set, really. You then start rolling individually for gangers, whether they flee or not. And the leaders, especially the Goliath ones, have very high, what they call, cool checks.
Right.
And if you keep your cool, you stay in the game. So it's actually quite hard. But by the looks of it, if you're playing a Goliath gang and they don't want to voluntarily go, it's quite hard to make them go because they're very brave.
Yeah. Yep. Or dumb.
Or dumb. But,
or cool.
But so far, every model they've done of it so far, this game system looks fantastic, and the game system itself, like, you can't take it competitively, don't get me wrong. Like Anthony, you'll love this. So one of the guys in this campaign is an out and out power gamer. He just won't admit to it.
Oh, you know, he won't admit to it.
So
he does hamstring himself by playing stuff like orcs.
But then it's a weird fish.
Yeah.
Anyway, online, there's this thing called Yak Tribe, which is a website which has free stuff to run a Necromunda campaign. And we've looked at it, found it. Yeah, it's, you put your gangs in there. It does all the hard stuff for you. You just input your stats and it gives you.
Oh, it's like running a Blood Bowl league.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And because the way the game is you've got these player cards. It actually prints them out for you to fit onto your cards. So very easy. No handwriting needed. Anyway, so the guys submit their gangs to me. Now, there isn't a lot of choice at the moment because there's only Goliath, Escher, Orlok, and technically Gene Steeler.
Gene Steeler in the White Dwarf.
Yeah, like in the White Dwarf. Actually out yet. So Anthony gives me a Goliath. Now, the idea of a Necromunda gang is they're all individuals. They're all like. Listen to this. So they're all individuals. They're all like unique individuals with unique equipment, unique skills. They're not soldiers. They're not out of an armory. They don't draw weapons out of an armory. Everyone gets the same. Off you go. Anthony gives me a Goliath gang where everybody is armed exactly the same and the skills are chosen the same because he thinks they're the most optimal choices. And you're looking at it, you're like, Anthony, you're missing the point of this. Like, it's not a war game. It's like, it's as much role-playing as anything else. You're meant to embrace the uniqueness of this. And it's like, oh, but why would I choose anything but this skill? Or why would I choose anything but this weapon?
So it's like everything to a block.
Yeah. And it's like, you're not getting it. it's not that kind of game system. And I'm just like shaking my head at it. Just like, oh, why?
I understand where he's coming from. He just likes to find the shortest route to victory. The list building.
I've said before, I think, on the podcast, games are either two types. They're either for organised kind of play, or they're not. And Necromunda is not. You're not meant to take it that seriously, and he's taking it too seriously. Anyway, we've been doing that. I've also been playing in the War Machine Journeyman League, which Barry is not. I don't know. Like,
we've not talked about that yet.
Is protested away from.
Nice.
Took one look at it and just ran away. Held his nose.
I read my list. I found my models. I came down. I looked at the games that were being laid out in front of me. The feast that was on offer. And I didn't want to play. The game looks like a bag of dicks. Sorry.
Yeah.
But anyway. It just all looked like skews. It's all like,
yeah.
I'm either this. It's like rock, paper, scissors. Yeah. But like, taken to an extreme.
And in a journeyman league where you've only got one list, that skew can be really, really hard.
So you're either going to win the game easily or lose the game easily.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's no balanced lists.
Yeah.
It really did look that way. There was either all armour or no armour.
Yeah. I mean, so
you against... who was Chris?
Yeah.
That would have been a reasonable matchup. So, and Dave against Rodders would have been a reasonable matchup. Because the lists looked like they
could compete. And I've said this as well. It's like that War Machines always plays with a couple of lists, two or three lists. And you offset, like, okay, that's a bad matchup. I better play that one. That's the problem with Journeyman League, is that you only have the one list. And people know, like, you end up... It gets quite repetitive. There's only four of us now playing it. One of them's a new player, Chris. So I played this new player, Chris, on Wednesday.
This Wednesday?
This Wednesday, just gone.
Oh, right. With his long gonna spam list.
No. He'd use a Nemo 3 list. But the thing is not only War Machine, it's got such a high threshold of play to begin with. The learning line is really quite steep. So he had his list, and it wasn't awful, but he'd chosen the wrong infantry units for a start. As in, like, they're not in this list. You've got the Stormblade infantry and Stormguard aren't going to do anything. And and I looked across the table, and I said to Chris, like, you're very new. I'm played this game a lot. Yes, this is the same faction. Do you want me to teach you? And he's like, no, I need to learn. And I was like, fair enough then, because otherwise I am playing myself. You know, it's like if you're playing yourself at chess, there's almost no point. So I set up my list, and I've got the range on him. So we start playing the game, and he makes some bad choices. But he generally does the right rules, but he makes some bad choices. Like for some reason, he ran an infantry unit into a wood. Like there's no need to do that. Like it won't save them; it just slows them down.
It makes them slightly harder to hit.
But they're not.
But they're not good enough to be difficult to hit.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So like his. It's
12-15 in the storm.
Yeah, right? Victim stats.
Focus on.
Yeah, like
horrible.
So. I was like going through afterwards. It's like and he did have an opportunity to get Kane 3, but he didn't take it. And in a way, his attitude's not great either. He's defeatist before he even begins. Like I can't roll 11 with 3 dice. Look at that. Oh, I didn't roll an 11. It's like stop being so negative. Anyway, he had an opportunity, he didn't take it, and I ended up winning quite easily then the next turn. And afterwards, I said to him, like, look, this is how you could have done this. You could have used it, you could have sent someone in front of Kane, out of melee, used Force Hammer, not slam your own model into
knock
mine,
him
knock him down. I've got then no death, I haven't got much armour. You then just do everything you can to shoot
me. Can you target your own models still?
Yes, you can.
Definitely.
So that's what he could have done. But even if he didn't have that option.
Are you sure you can target your own models?
Well, at the very least, he could have tried a Force Hammer into Kane.
I think they removed quite a lot of that shenanigans in Mark III, because that was a real kick in the balls, not being able to throw your own stuff in the pot and stuff.
Anyway, there was things he could have done. He could have attempted. I explained to him, I didn't have a way to improve Kane's defence. And
from 17.
Which is pretty odd. But I have no way to improve it in my list.
Apart from getting on the hill.
The right bit of scenery. But to use Kane aggressively, he's got to be forward. He's only range 12. I can't improve that either. So he's if I want him to do something, he's got to be within 12 inches of something. So he's up the field, basically. And Chris didn't. See, and but it's difficult, and they just he's far used to 40k.
And
it's like
in 40k, if you lose your commander, it means nothing. You've lost the commander. Whereas in this, if you lose your commander, you're dead.
The thing is, it's going to be it's almost like in terms of like okay, so you turn up like say you did you wanted to play War Machine, and you turn up like your new player, and you go to your local club, play War Machine, and you play people who've played a lot more than you. It's a really hard learning curve. It's not inviting. You have to get you in on the same level. Because I remember,
I think the most important thing is you can't be precious.
Yeah.
So if you want to constantly use Storm Guard or Storm Blade against ranged armies, you're constantly going to be just taking them off the pitch.
Yeah.
Because
they
can't get there.
Yeah, exactly.
They can fight against melee armies, they can't fight against...
And I explained to him, when I looked at his list, and I was like, I said to him, like, Chris, in my second turn, when I had the range of your army in front of me, and I could choose what I went to attack for, I went for the Lancer, because he's got an arc node. Yeah, because I know that Nemo's got some good spells that can mess me up, And if I take away the arc node, Nemo will have to come further forward.
And he doesn't want it.
And he doesn't want it, because he's very vulnerable. You know, so I went for that. And then, once that was down, I looked at your list, and I was like, your Firefly, with his +2 buff around for electrical attacks, he also needs to get taken care of as well. So then I went and started attacking
that.
He
needs redundancy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, the art of the game is working out what is important in your list to that matchup. I explained to him in my list where my damage buffs come from. And I said to him, like, there's a hell of a lot to learn in War Machine. The best you can do to be as a new player is just know your own stuff.
Yeah.
You can't possibly try to learn everybody else's. I mean, it's...
But also a lot of it is list building.
Well, of course. And it's like...
You can't just chuck stuff together.
No, you can't. I mean, like, anyway, what I'm saying is... So I played this guy and beat him quite easily. But he did have a chance. He just didn't realise how he had a chance. I was just like, well, I certainly wouldn't buy any new...
Barry's scratching.
I wouldn't buy any new...
My bearded dragon, because we're in a different room, is scratching, so I'm going to have to move him.
I need you to come pick me up, all right? I got bit by a fucking disease, dog. God damn it.
Okay, so we're back. Finish on your War Machine story.
Yeah, and the other thing I've been doing is...
Shit ton of Shadespire.
It's played some Shadespire, yeah. I wouldn't say a shit ton, but like...
I've played and won a couple of games of Shadespire now.
Really?
I played a 3-player game with you.
Oh, yeah.
One of the fills.
So, we've been playing some Shadespire. We tried a 5-player game down the pub on Wednesday.
I thought the rules were only for 4.
Yeah, we made it for 5.
Okay, how'd you do?
Sherwin won naturally.
Did he?
Yeah.
With what? Space Marines?
Orcs.
Really?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. I played a game with orcs, and I played 2 games against Dave with orcs.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of turns.
Yeah.
So I think I did 20 charges and killed nobody. Over 2 games.
Kept rolling badly.
Yeah. He was playing undead, and he beat my ass like both games.
Fantastic.
I killed nothing.
I'm working on a Skaven and a Stormbro deck at the moment.
Don't call them Stormbro.
What would you call them?
I don't know. Ship
Marines. Storm Bros.
They're making another one, aren't they?
Yeah.
Bunch of Storm Bastards.
Of course, they're the best things. Anyway, I'm still trying to work out a good Skaven deck and how to. But I'm noticing their lack of damage is a bit of an issue.
There's Hero Slayer on it, where it's
Well, that's the thing. It's like it's all balancing what cards you should have. But it's I have noticed they just do not. Do enough, and I don't want to risk my leader, and because when the leader goes down, it's all bad, and it's like, yeah.
You can still win that leader.
Yeah, of course, and I did. I did win. I went round Rids last night, and I actually won. He won 2-1 with dwarves against Skaven, and I'd lost my leader, right. So he can do win. And then I stomped him with my Stormbro list. Like, I think it's good to see that there are like obviously good and bad. Like the dwarves who want to sit on objectives. It's bad for Skaven because I want to get on those objectives as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, so that invites collision.
Fightage.
But the Sigmar Marines are like one-shotting dwarves and like killing them. And it's like, I was just like, both games I just like killed out his band with the Sigmar Marines.
Wow.
It's just like, he killed, he got one of them in one matchup, but that was one Stormbro compared to like 7-8 dwarves. It's like, it's pretty good.
That sounds like me against the undead. I lost all my orcs twice, and I killed one partitioner. What? So it's a good game, although I've got the meta's not fully formed yet because there's still 2 more packs. Well, I feel a lot more comfortable than the second.
Well, more things. There's a 2 bans more to come out, and they've leaked cards of the next expansion of the next.
Let's get the shit out of me the next one.
Really? Why is that?
Because there was like 550 something.
Yeah.
Well, they're struggling to show me that they've thought through how to balance these 260. Because the amount of people that are asking about timing rules, and they've got...
Timing rules?
I don't think they've got any concept of how card games work in, like, when you get proper competitive.
Uh-huh.
You have to have, like, all of them, like World of Warcraft, like, even fucking Pokemon and stuff. They have, like, a rule book that they give you in the box, and then there's a rule book you can go print, which is about 400 pages long.
Yeah.
Because you have to go into timings. Like a War Machine had timing structure.
Right, yeah.
So in Magic, they had to create something called the stack, where it's like, if you both play spells, there's a priority in which the spells resolve. Because you can keep playing them.
Because
the stack can end up like 10 spells deep, and then they resolve from the last play to the first play.
Yeah.
So I don't even think they've thought of how they're going to deal with it when it gets... like. So you're talking about potentially 800 cards. So
theoretically.
And they're creaking, and they haven't even got 200 out yet. And they're creaking under the weight of questions.
But they have... I mean, have you looked at their FAQ?
I have, but it's like 2 months out of date. They've released 2 packs since then.
Yeah, but...
And like, people are asking, what about this? What about this? And the problem is that on the Facebook page, people keep asking the same fucking questions. And nobody can give an answer because nobody works for GW. So everybody gives their opinion, and in my opinion... This is one that makes me laugh. There's a meme, or meme, or whatever they call it, of Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
And it just keeps saying, restart the clock. It's Elba, or whatever his name is, Elba, saying, restart the clock. Every time this fucking question gets asked, the question generally is, if I play Earthquake, and the one, if you move, you take one damage.
Yeah.
Do you take one damage? All characters take a damage.
Oh, okay.
So I play Earthquake, and if anybody moves, take a damage.
Is the moving a push? Is the push a move? Because in Earthquake, you push people. The key was push.
Any move.
But, like, that's the question, isn't it? How do those two interact? Yeah.
Well, they don't, is the answer.
Yeah, well...
But if I'm an AWP player, it's like, all my guys are inspired, all your guys are damaged.
Or if I was a Skaven player, is that, you know... Cause
everybody gets inspired.
Yeah, because the keyword is choose, though. You've got to be chosen.
Yeah,
and
an
Earthquake
keyword.
Doesn't choose you. Yeah.
Anyway, it makes me laugh, because you see the same post, like, 4 times a day? And although people kind of say, no, this is what I think, there's no answer. Because GW haven't given the fucking answer.
And they will give them a chance.
When?
Well,
like... They've got 2 more packs coming out in a few weeks. They haven't even sorted out the last set of packs. Because you know what happens? In tournament games, people really go to town on the rules lawyering.
Yeah.
What was the intention of the wording? And not only that, they're not even templating the same cards in the same way.
Yeah.
So you've got identical cards, and they're worded differently. One's like a Skaven-only card, one's a generic card, and they're not even worded the same.
Yeah.
So if they're the same card, just fucking word them the same. Don't create, like, ambiguities. Because later on, you've got to get yourself out of this.
Yeah, that's true.
Why have you written this different? Is it deliberately written? Is there something we're not reading in? Oh, man. So all this Billy Big Balls about tournament game, I'm not seeing it yet. I'm not seeing... The game system may be tournament-ready, worthy... But the infrastructure's nowhere near.
Well, speaking of event tournaments, of that, there's this new board game shop opened up in Chelmsford.
They contacted me.
They contacted you?
Yeah, because of my magic.
Oh, okay, right.
They're running out the Nag's Head, a pop-up shop or something.
They were. Oh, no, but now that they're... No, they have... Close to the Nag's Head, they have their own bricks and mortar place.
Yeah, they said there was a pop-up shop out of the Nag's Head or something, or near the Nag's Head.
Near it is. That's the closest pub.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I went in there the other day and asked them about, hey, can we play Shadespire in here? And they were totally... Because Shadespire is more a board game than anything else.
Bricks and Mortar's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Bricks and Mortar means I can get magic stuff from them.
Well, I mean, are you going to? What are you going to do?
I'm not going to speak to them.
Oh, okay.
I don't think... Generally, board gamers don't know how much money's in magic. They've got no concept.
No.
They kind of think, oh, it's a fucking card game. Yeah. It's like suddenly, like, really? You spend this much money? Yeah, people spend this much money.
Well, I think you need to go, maybe you need to go and talk to them then. Yeah. It's on the corner where Odeon is. You can't miss it. Counterculture Gaming. Where in the shop.
Well, that's on a bit of a main thoroughfare, you bet that.
It is, yeah. It's, you know, I went in the other day just because I had to ask, hey, because they're very brand new. And I said to them, can we play in here? Can we play Shadespire?
Is it open in the evening? That's important.
Yes, it is. And also, the hours are quite flexible. So if you requested such a thing, you know, like, they, you know, won't, it's not all, you know, who knows? It's like, and the price of them was very incredibly cheap. Because I was like, okay, so how much would it be to play in here? And they're like, well, if you're bringing your own stuff and they're not teaching you, it's only like £3.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like...
Good stuff.
Yeah.
I'll have to go and have a look over the weekend, mate.
Yeah, no, it's it's what me and Hannah should be doing is running a...
There's no money in it.
No, well, I mean, the only bad thing about it was I did look at it and I was like, I don't know how they're going to make any money.
There's no money in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Magic's the only way to make money in that kind of situation. Wizards give you products that only you can sell.
Yeah.
So you can't get them in the internet, you can't get them from Amazon.
That makes you exclusive, yeah.
Yeah, and some of those products are worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, Yeah. They throw you some bones to keep you in the game.
No, fair enough then. Well, maybe that's what needs to be done. And I hope this shop stays open because it's a nice little venue. Yeah.
Oh, good for them.
Also, other things. Just some dates I have. I'm playing Phil Vestry at Warmaster coming up tomorrow. That's probably happening. And I've got another playtesting date with Wood Elves with Jim.
Ooh.
Yo. So that'll be. Then we'll get it when we're guarding time to write, so put some feedback out about our Wood Elf playtesting. And I also have a date to play Ancients out of Saffron Walden with Jim, Alex and Jeff.
Right.
I'm going to take a Roman army.
Of course you are, sir.
Imperial Roman.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Best of the best, cream of the crop.
Well, you Ancients are small points. Like, yeah. It's not 2,000 points. It's going to be big Ancient games.
It's 1,000 points.
Yeah, like 1,000 points. And they're going to make it 1,250.
Well, so you're going to have 10 units of Romans.
I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm going to be taking cardboard, like, tokens. Because, right. And see what this could be. I'm quite intrigued because...
I'd much rather play it with cardboard. Because it's not just the folk and the money for the miniatures. Then you've got base and the paint machine. Play with cardboard.
Yeah, but like I say, like, it's at the moment, this is like a one-off thing. I don't know if it's... see if it releases something. I'm just quite intrigued because it's the army rules I'm most intrigued about. I'm like, okay, the Imperial Romans, have some cool army rules. And, like, they're always supported.
Always supported.
Yeah, like...
Because they're outnumbered 10-1.
Exactly, but I want to see that on the table. I don't know what the others are going to bring. I've been quite open. I'm going to take Romans, Imperial Romans. But they haven't said, like, what list... It seems to be open. You can take any list from, I think, Warmaster Ancients.
Right.
You know, so armies that never even got near each other.
I looked at once, the Celts or something, like Northern Britons. And I was like, I think it was 12 the minimum of
Warbands.
12 per thousand?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Because I thought there were 2,000 point games. I'm not doing 24 units of Warbands.
It's quite, well, yeah. So I will find out. It'll be quite interesting. I've got... quite looking forward to that because again, all three of those people I like to play, so that'll be all good.
Okay, right. KR sponsorship.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR multicase. KR multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR multicase today. Soft foam, hard cases.
Right, so we're back in the room and it's Dark Elf time.
Dark Elves. Okay, so the fluff of Dark Elves.
Well, it's all wrong, isn't it?
Well, I'll read what we have.
It's all wrong, though. You've told me. You've told me the story. They're all one big happy family.
Yeah, that's what they went to. Like, but not... In
the sea elves now. Where were they? Where were they hiding?
That was Technus's mistakes. Right.
They could be Technus's love kids, couldn't they? He had sex with a mermaid, and then here we go. Could it be?
So, over 5,000 years ago, a great civil war erupted among the elven kingdoms on the island continent of Uthwan. Upon one side were the supporters of the Phoenix King, while upon the others were the supporters of Malekith, Lord of Naggarathai. Malekith was the son of Anarion, the first and greatest of the Phoenix Kings, and his mother was a powerful and influential sorceress called Morathi. Many fair-minded elves believed that Malekith was the rightful heir to the Phoenix throne, because he is. They remembered that he had fought valiantly against the demon tides of chaos, and his noble appearance recalled that of his mighty father.
Anarion, what was his name?
Anarion was the king of the... Yeah.
Was his father, Anarion?
Yeah, he was his father, yeah. Yeah.
God, I said that.
Morathi nurtured a huge ambition to rule, and her son was provide her with the means to achieve power. She was prepared to go to any ends to realise her ambitions, and she was fearless and proud even in the face of the gods themselves. She was also skilled in all the arts of magic, and especially in the lore of demons and all manner of necromancy. Unbeknown to the common folk, Morathi had long since forged dark pacts with the most sinister and dangerous demons in order to bolster her powers. Her mastery of the dark powers earned her the admiration of many who believed that such forces could be harnessed and used to empower the elves. Her followers grew in number and she became so bold that the forbidden gods were worshipped openly in the temples of Naggarathai and many flocked to join the new cults. Young elves found themselves plucked from the streets and sacrificed upon the altars of Cain, the Lord of Murder. Thanks in part to his mother's efforts, Malekith's cause prospered, even as darkness and corruption spread across the elves. His supporters clamoured for Malekith to assume the throne, and everywhere there was outbreaks of violence as rebels fought supporters of the Phoenix King. As Malekith's influence grew, he came to believe himself indestructible. So certain was he of his divine destiny that he decided to pass into the flame of Asurin to prove his right to rule. By this rite, the grace of the Elven gods grants power and divine authority to the true kings of Uthwan. But the Elven gods were not bowed by Morathi's power, and the flame rejected her son. Malekith was not killed, but his body was badly burned, and afterwards he made a suit of black armour, which he wears to this day. Seriously weakened, blackened of body, his mind warped by pain and resentment, Malekith gave up all pretense of rightful lordship and chose instead to impose his will by force of arms alone. The long, bitter and bloody war that followed became known as the Sundering, for the result was to divide the elf race. From there on, the High Elves of Uthwan, the Wood Elves of the abandoned elf colonies in the Old World, and the Dark Elves of Malekith would develop separately. The Dark Elves were eventually driven out of Uthwan, the land of Naggarothi, and a great part of the western lands of Uthwan were torn apart by giant, great magical upheavals as the rival sides battled for supremacy. Naggaroth finally sank beneath the waves. Malekith and his supporters fled to the northern part of the New World, where they found their kingdom in exile upon the borderlands of chaos. This they named Naggarond, which means the land of chill in Elvish. Their capital of the Blackstone was called Naggarond, Tower of Cold. From his icy realm, Malekith broods over his lost kingdoms and weaves dark spells against his enemies. His ships harass those of the High Elves, his raiders harry the coast of Uthwan and the Old World, whilst his generals plan to return to their homeland to win the Elven Kingdom for their Dark Master. In the land of Naggaron, the Dark Elves raise temples to all manner of bloodthirsty demons. Witch Elves roam the night searching for sacrifices, breaking into homes to steal away children, and murdering those foolish enough to walk abroad beneath the stars. Under the evil gaze of Morathi, thousands are sacrificed from the altar of the Cain, while to this day she preserves the unholy youth by bathing in the blood of innocence. That's the fluff. What's the fluff? Yeah.
Until it all turned out to be a lie.
I think it's good fluff.
Well, certainly better than most.
Yeah, better than most. I mean, it's
kind of sounds like they actually made some of their own.
The rightful son and the spur, you know, the jealous mother, because Inarion was Malekith's son by a different elf. So he had eight some kids, and then this was his second like go at it.
So who was the rightful king then?
Well, I think it is. Basically, the fluff then develops into... it was always always Malekith, because he was the son of Inarion. And there wasn't...
And there weren't any other sons?
There wasn't another son living. Yeah, so
who became king?
If
it wasn't him.
So basically, that's the point of it, is in that first Phoenix kin was kind of elected by other senior elves passed the test of kingship.
The test.
Yeah, the Greyjoys, they drown their people. And they're like, you know, like, I watched it recently. Watch Dead Man
Never Die.
They actually drown leaders. And then they're like, oh, look, he did, with no help, he, you know, like, didn't drown. You know, so
I'm
like,
not sure
like,
how that's possible.
It's kind of a weird, like, ritual. It's like, if you step yourself into a flamethrower and you don't get burned, then you're allowed to be king.
Well, that's more Daenerys, isn't she?
Yeah.
She burns the house down around her.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, but the fluff that comes later, post in End Times, is that somehow he was supposed to be accepted, but he had been, that had been messed with, this initiation. So it had burned him when it shouldn't have done. So, yeah. He was spurned, and it's a good story.
Trixie elves.
You got two good characters in there, and you give them good motivations, and that makes good fluff.
Trixie elves.
Yeah.
So how did Teclis not know of this deception?
No, he probably did.
Probably didn't care.
Yeah. Well, Teclis was, you know, unfeeling.
Unfeeling. Right. Okay, so what are we going to do? We've done the fluff. Yep. Now it's the army list.
Yeah.
The old army list.
Here we go.
Now this is a good old-fashioned army list. Not too flabby.
No.
This was one of the first ones done.
Yeah.
So it was kind of...
Yeah, one of the first expansion army lists, you know.
Yeah, so still, it wasn't one of the first eight, but it was still around.
Yep.
Although the miniatures are incredibly expensive to get hold of.
The originals, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right, so what have we got? Spearmen. They're just spearmen.
High elf spearmen, infantry, 3-3-5, 60 points, minimum 2, maximum 0, so you're going to have at least 4. Nothing. And there's no unique. In this army has no unique army rules. There's nothing.
They do have a unique army.
Yeah, but they come into with their. They have no like before any unit's army rules.
Okay, they have one very unique army.
Yeah, yeah, we'll come on to that, but that's part of the general. Yeah.
Okay.
So, then, nothing to be said about that. That's the standard points for a 335 unit. So, we have crossbowmen, infantry, three attacks, and it's written as two shooting attacks, with six armour, 75 points, minimum one, maximum zero. And they have this rule, which is crossbowmen and dark elves, so this also comes, dark riders. These units are equipped with repeating crossbow, which is the dark elf's signature weapon. These units shoot once at ranges of up to 30 and twice of up to ranges at 15. A unit of three stands will therefore shoot six attacks at a target within 15 centimetres and three attacks at a target at greater ranges. And when they are charged, they only fire one attack.
So they're interesting. They're hitting on fours, not like the high elf brothers.
Yeah. Yeah, so there you go. So the high elves, where you would say like they've gone for more individual, you know, excellence.
Yep.
The high elves have gone for like just mechanized kind of
technology.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So and I really like that as a unit. I think that the that you know one shoot at what you know you, as a unit of archers, that additional shot if you get within 15 is, I think it's really cool, and especially good with dark riders. Personally, I think that makes them boss.
Well, and they also get a shot when they get charged, because if you put them within 15, they're going to get charged.
Basically. I mean, unless you land enough, unless you're on the 15 and you land enough damage, which theoretically you can push the unit past 20.
Well, only if you let. What tends to happen is like, say you've got a guy in lines on the front and then column behind.
Yeah.
You shoot the guys in line on the front.
Yeah.
Do say six damage.
Yeah.
I just take two stands. Yeah. Make them confused. Charge from the column.
Yeah.
Behind.
Of course. Yeah. That's your problem.
Mm-hmm. So.
But I mean, dark elves in general, they are all like, they're all dark man. It's all about attack. The dark elves, it's like, you know, they are more aggressive.
Yeah, there's no artillery. Yeah. It's all about attack. Yeah.
So I really like that as a jolt. So the next unit, then the third unit is of infantry is witch elves. Five attacks, three hits, no armor, and these are the standard 70 points, and these minimum no max two. These have the same rules as fanatics. These are exactly the same profile as fanatics. So they can't be driven back. They're immune to terror. They must always charge and pursue. And you know, again, with only three hits and no armour, they won't last a couple of rounds.
They won't last very long.
But when they do attack, it come in, they'll all do six attacks each.
And also, they're not particularly good defensively because you can pull them out.
Exactly. And
bait them.
Yeah, and they can. And as you'll find, like the more experienced players in you, that whole you must always pursue, especially in Revolution, is a real negative because you can be drawn into fights you don't want to be in. You could be, and the enemy can really use that against you.
So this type of infantry, I don't tend to take at all anymore. I don't even like them with dwarves. I just don't like them.
But you see how. So how would we do with Bretonians then, when they're all the knights of the rule?
Well, you have to deal with it.
They're not these, are they?
Knights are still pretty hard.
No, knights have the armor,
and they have the hits.
But they have the same rule. They basically, as I said before, any troops that you can't control completely are a liability.
They are,
and it's like that's why they're 70 points for five attacks. You know, like it's a lot, but that's a massive negative against them.
So if you put this 70 points, five attacks, and you're made to charge a unit of skeletons,
yes,
who are raised, so they're irrelevant,
yeah,
and it pulled you completely out of position,
and the skeletons themselves would do 2, 4, 6 back, so they'd probably take a stand,
and then maybe you're then forced to go into something
and
else,
and you are forced to advance on. Yeah,
into something else.
Into something else.
And then you're left miles away from the rest of your army to get flank charged.
Well, you're probably
or
dead.
Or die. Yeah,
you're dead already.
It's quite easy.
No.
Controlling these idiots.
No. They're limited bullets, and that's all they are. So then we have.
So you've actually taken to not putting them on the front line anymore.
Oh, no.
Which is really weird for troops that.
Yeah. Like they have.
They can't be pushed back by shooting stuff, so you think, oh, put them on the front line. But you have to keep them behind, because you have to keep them under control.
Definitely. So, I don't want to come into my build, but I'll explain, like, we'll come on to that. So, to me, the rock star of the list is Dark Riders, which are cavalry.
You're mad, sir, mad!
Three attacks, two shooting, because they have this rule that I've already spoken about.
Madness.
There you go. You have a unit of light cav, which can motor across the table at 30, and if they get within 15 or something, they can unload. Yeah, So... I really like them personally.
Would you like the Empire version of these?
The pistoliers?
Yeah. Even though they only shoot one.
Yeah.
I think this kind of light cavalry section are probably the least valuable now in almost a revolution, but, of the troop entries.
But we have, there is that, you know, we're floating that rule of an additional light cavalry rule.
To try and get something in.
To go, yeah, but I agree.
Because like, people like me see them and go, like, you're just a liability now. I used to use them to shoot off support, yeah, which you can't do now. And that was like, that was the reason I took them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Apart from picking off like cannons or soft stuff. Shoot off support.
I think a couple of units of Dark Riders flanking another brigade is lovely, personally. And they could always charge in if you need them to, if you have to. So then you've probably got the thing that only Barry's chosen totally of. Cold Knights, cavalry, three attacks, three hits, four up armour, 130 points each with this rule. Such is the unthinking instinct to take a bite out of anything that passes. Cold Knights have an attack value of +1 on the first round of combat when fighting to the front. Basically, if the Cobalt Knights were fighting to the front, and also Cobalt Knights cannot form brigades except with other units of Cobalt Knights, which makes sense.
They're expensive.
They are expensive, but they have, if they're to the front and they're charging, they've got 5 attacks each.
Which is like proper Lizardman Cobalt.
Proper grr.
But they also, if they get charged to the front, they don't get it. So they're a bit like chariots.
Yeah.
Is that right? Chariots are not to the front either.
+1 attack on the charge.
On the charge. So they're better than chariots, but only in the front.
Yep.
They only get the bonus in the front defensively.
Yeah.
But they're expensive.
They are expensive.
You're paying 20 points for that.
Yep.
I still take 6.
So, we have Harpies as a monster. 2 attacks, 3 hits, 6 up armour, 65 points. Not much that we've already spoken a lot about Harpies. These are the same infantry that are in several army lists. Based wrong. Harpy Jobber characters. Nothing going for them but their flyers.
Ship flyers better than no flyers.
Exactly. So you're probably going to take 2.
I probably did, yeah.
Then we have War Hydra, which is a monster. 6 attacks and 2 ranged. 4 hits, 4 up armour. 135 points, and you can take 2, maximum of 1. And it has War Hydra are so aggressive they cannot be brigaded with anything else, even other War Hydras. They cause terror. They have a ranged attack of 20 centimetres and 2 attacks. And they can regenerate 1 hit in the same way that trolls can at the end of each round. They're not big enough to have badly hurt. They're just 4 hits and dead, but they are regenerating. They're an interesting combo of rules. 135 points.
I like them.
Yeah.
But they go down quite easily. They're still monsters. But can these be dinged up?
No, they only have 4 hits, so they're like mini monsters. Not big
sphinxes
ones.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
They've got some skills.
Yeah.
Because they've got 8 attacks on the charge, haven't they?
Yes, they would have monster charging in the open, yeah.
They're not bad, but they're expensive as all monsters are.
Yeah.
Then we've got bolt throwers.
So, bolt throwers, your artillery piece, which is exactly the same as the high off bolt thrower. So 3 attacks, which should be reduced down to 55 points.
This was the one that was reduced down to.
Yeah. So, yeah, not much I should say there. They use that.
The range 40 is the only hindrance. 40,
and they hit on 4s, they're not improved. Mm-hmm.
They're not bad.
Not bad, not bad.
Not bad, but yeah. I don't take them. But they're not bad. We've got a general.
Right, so general who's 2 attacks and 155 points. So, Darker Commanders are masters of manipulation and cruelty. This makes them uncompromising in their dealings with subordinates. If a Dark Elf hero or a sorceress rolls a double 6 when issuing orders, then the general must either lose 1 level of command, i.e. drop from 10 to 9.
Which you are never doing.
Or execute the failed underling, in which case the character is removed as a casualty does not count towards the enemy's victory points. In addition, if the general rolls a blunder, a double 6, then the general automatically loses 1 level. Regardless of these penalties, a general can only drop 2 levels, after which all subordinates who blunder are executed, and only blunders resolved by the generals are merely end the phase as normal.
Brilliant.
So, I do have a question there. So if your hero rolls a blunder, this happens, as well as the blunder?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It's in addition. So. Yeah.
Because it wouldn't replace the blunder.
It doesn't replace the blunder.
Although it would, on my list, the first one at least. Because we're not suffering this shit, are we? Because it's...
So that is... That's a very cool rule.
It's a very cruel rule. if you play in a tournament, at least one game in the tournament... Something like this is going to go wrong. It's not going to go wrong every game, because it's only 1 in 36 chance. Mm-hmm. But when it goes wrong, and if you, God forbid, you get more than one, or God forbid you roll it for like a Manticore hero,
ooh,
that's like 200 points.
Yeah, Yeah, yeah.
What are you going to do?
Slit his throat.
Oh, man. Or 160 points. You can't, well, what are you going
to
do?
You're not giving the points to the enemy, but you are character down. It's a hard choice. Either way is a bad choice.
It means I take more characters with Dark Elves than I would in High Elves.
Wow.
Because you've got no choice.
Okay, yeah. Because
it's a redundancy. You can't run with two characters. What if your general has to lose a level?
What if he does?
Leadership 9. That's rubbish.
So that then, the characters, you've got the standard hero, Command 8 hero for 80 points. You've got a sorceress who is a Command 8 hero with no attack and she's 80 points. Same as before. We'll go into the spell list in a bit.
Yep.
We have three mounts. We have a manticore, which generals, heroes, and sorcerers can ride. It gives you plus 2 attacks and causes terror for the standard
amount of
points. And flying, which is the standard amount of points, which is 80 points for that. You have a cauldron of blood, a unique thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you also have a chariot, I should say, which is a 10-point upgrade for plus 1
it's
attack.
Like a sword.
But it also limits you with some movement. You can't go
in woods.
Because that's important to remember. And you have the Cauldron of Blood, which the sorceress can have a Cauldron of Blood. It's categorised as a special mount because it is treated as a mount for the sorceress with a Cauldron of Blood. And cannot have another mount, so you can't have it's something in addition.
Yeah.
Of course, also with the Cauldron, suffers a movement reduction to 30 centimetres. Quite interesting. Mm. The army can only include one Cauldron of Blood, and it can only include it if there is at least one unit of Witch Elves in the army.
Okay, right, Witch Elves and...
The Cauldron of Blood adds plus 2 attacks to the sorceress, so that would make plus 2 in total.
Yeah.
And and can be used to add plus 1 to the sorceress dice roll for a spell once per battle, which is the same thing as before.
That's like a big unicorn.
The player must announce the Cauldron's spell bonus is being used before rolling the dice to determine if the spell is cast. And this comes in at 15 points, the Cauldron of Blood.
So it's like a unicorn with an extra attack, but you have to take a Witch Elves to use it.
And also your lessened
speed.
Movement's
reduced.
Interesting. Quite thematic, but does it have much use, I suppose?
It depends on the spell list. You'd have to have a must-join unit to fight spell for it to be of any use.
So we go into the spell list. We have Doombolt, which is your 5 up to cast, range 30, straight line spell, which is a standard...
With armor saves,
but you can affect multiple units. You have Dominion, the 4-up spell, range 60 centimeters, and don't have to be able to see, and they cannot charge and engage, will not pursue or advance. So this is the same as the Elizabeth one, isn't it?
And the Tomb Kings one.
Yeah.
It's very good, although we don't have enough wizards to make it useful.
No.
It's something like a 4-up on one unit.
Yeah, but it is there.
Yeah.
You have Soul Stealer, 5-up to cast range touching. So the sorceress is in a combat.
This is the one then.
And you would do 3 attacks worked out in the usual way with no armor saves allowed, and it will count for combat res.
So she's putting 5 attacks in now, if she's on the mount.
3 of them with no armor, yeah.
3 with no armor.
Yeah, yeah. So then the last one
is
Black Horror, which is 6 up to cast, range 50. Single unit, of course, you can see, and which is not engaged in combat. They suffer 4 attacks with no save for armor. Any hits taken from Black Horror are not driven back. There you go. So,
that's not very good.
No, is it worth a 6-up? It's.
There's no armor, so if you get the right thing and you're lucky, but you're not driven back. So if you, on average, do 2 wounds,
mm-hmm.
it's not really doing very much.
But it depends. I mean, I'll explain.
A 6-up spell.
So the spell list doesn't stand out as being amazing.
No.
But I think the spell list plays more into army build, which we will come on to. So revolution changes. What were there for?
Not much, sir.
Not much was
the monster, but he's not a proper monster, so it doesn't even account. The
yeah, he doesn't get Barry. Yeah, so I don't think. Yeah, they had Barry did try something.
I did.
You going to mention that now?
Or I can do. So there's a magic item.
Yes.
That I feel is almost obligatory. You might as well cost the general at 155 and just put him in there.
But Barry's wrong.
I'm not wrong, sir. So it's called a separate Scepter of Sovereignty, and it does 2 things to the Dark Elves. Normally it does 1 thing.
Yeah.
The 1 thing it normally does is ignore a blunder and make you pass the order.
Yeah.
So if you're all 6, you can ignore the 6, whether it's on the general or a hero or a sorcerer, and the order's passed, which is good.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good. But for Dark Elves, it also means you don't have to lose a level or kill a hero.
It's a double bubble.
So it's a double bubble. So that's pretty good.
So
normally it's not taken. Nobody takes this.
Not really, no.
In any other list. Yeah. But in this list, because it does so much, it saves you so many points potentially. I mean, how many points is it to save a hero? 80 points.
Yeah. Yep.
Or to save a level on your general? Even the level on your general is what?
How much 50? Is the magic item?
30.
So, what were you trying to get changed?
I just said they can't have it.
What, as in...
Because you've given them a negative. You've made the general cheaper because they've got a perceived weakness.
Yeah.
Because he's a proper leadership 10 general.
Yeah, he's a proper leadership 10, yeah.
But the reason he's not leadership 10 is because he's got this weakness.
Yeah.
And then you give him a magic character that takes away the weakness.
Okay.
But then he does cost 185, yeah. And he still has a small percentage of the weakness.
Yeah, because
you can roll it twice.
Right, twice, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
You can do what Simon does and just rolls it all the time.
Yeah. I've seen people roll twice in the first turn. What are you going to do? In fact, the only time I've ever played Dark Elves, I think that happened to me and I lost like a hero straight away. What the fuck am I going to do? I'm not making my general leadership 9. So the hero's got to go.
So, okay. So you would have had it banned just for Dark Elves?
No, I was just being silly. I was just saying that we should make him 180 points.
Oh,
I
see.
Believe he shouldn't have had the discount.
Right, so, okay.
But anyway.
Right, okay.
Because he's priced as a dwarf, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so.
But he's got access to a lot of other stuff that dwarves don't have.
Anyway, that did not get through.
It wasn't really taken very seriously.
So, army lists. Do you want to do yours first? Shall I do mine?
Yeah, no, I can do mine. I'm sure most people will be able to guess.
Go on then.
So I've got 6 spearmen.
Yeah.
Because spearmen are good.
Yep. Spearmen are good.
Like, Empire would love these guys.
Yeah, they would, but they don't have them for a good reason.
crossbowmen. 2 of those, because you got to.
Yep.
So far we've taken 2 extra spearmen, and the rest is just compulsory.
Yep.
This is pretty similar to my High Elf build. 6 cold ones, because they're good.
Yep.
Why wouldn't you? Unless you want somebody of everything. Because you've got leadership 10. That's no joke how far you can make these guys move.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you could turn one charge with these guys.
Yeah,
it's
not likely. But you can.
I've seen it done. I saw Rodders do it in a tournament game.
That last order is very.
It's probably only a 5 or so.
5 or something. 5 or 4. Yeah.
Yeah, but the first two are like you could get 10-8-5 or something like that.
10-5.
Mm. Boom.
Yeah.
Oh shit! There's a million cold ones hitting me.
Yep.
Turn 1. 2 harpies because any flyer's better than no flyer. A war hydra. I do actually like this fella. I think he's. Much better than a giant.
Yep.
And cheaper than a giant. Mm-hmm. Doesn't go silly. Doesn't attack your own stuff. Doesn't run away. General with a scepter. Hero on a manticore. A sorceress and a scroll of dispelling.
So
we've got 17.
So
break of 9.
9.
And we have 9 scouts.
9 scout. Not bad. Okay.
2,000 points on those.
Yeah. So how do you play it? What do you risk?
Well, everything's going forward.
Like, so
we've got the 2 units of the 2 brigades of spearmen. So 3 spearmen in column and the crossbows on the front.
Yep.
So 2 brigades of that. We've got 2 brigades of 3 cold ones.
Yep.
The harpies are
doing harpies things.
Oh, doing harpy stuff. And
then the hydra. Like, how many characters did you say?
3.
3. Yeah.
One more than normal.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Because you have to.
Because you have to. All right.
Because they might kill themselves. Well, you got Paul. What you got?
Right. I went for 5 spearmen.
That was random.
Yeah, 4 crosswomen. Yeah, so I went for 2 more than you needed to have. 2 units of witch elves. 3 units of dark riders. 2 units of cobalt knights. 2 units of harpies.
Yeah.
A war hydra.
Of course.
2 bolt throwers. A general, a hero, and a sorceress. That left me with 25 points of magic items. So I went with a wand of power. To get a +1 to cast a spell.
Yeah.
I went with a Sword of Might on the hero in case he had to commit, and I just went with a 5-point Sword of Fate because that's the only thing that's really 5 points.
That is the only thing that's 5 points.
So my break point's 11, and that's my good. Scouting value is 12. So I had 2 more break on you.
12, because you put the Dark Riders.
Because I put the Dark Riders and the War and the 2 Harpies in. Now, this is an arm. The reason my choice is here is this is the army I own for Dark Elves.
Good.
So it's all painted and done.
Something of everything.
Something of everything, as I might. Now, for me, I'm not as cheesy as Barry, where I just take one thing all the time. You know, like, I see with the Dark Elves, they've got 1, 2, 3, 4 units that can shoot. So they've got the Crosswomen, the Dark Riders, the War Hydra, and the Bolt Throwers can all fire. None of it ignores armour, but they can do a lot of shots.
Yeah.
So
at very short range, though.
No shorter than anybody else's. The bolt throw's not 60.
Yeah.
But so, like, that'd be an interesting one against their face off against cannons, but then might be time for a Dark Riders to get involved. Anyway, so the way I would play the army is I would I do a lot of shooting with this army. And
so you're going to play defensively after all your... It's an aggressive army, blah, blah, blah.
No, no, but like...
But like
aggressive, like, goes to 15. Defensive. Aggressive. So, like, moving into 15, using the Witch Elves and Colwyn Knights and War Hydra will attack said enemy.
Yeah.
But I won't, you know, like... So, yeah, I'll be playing aggressive too, because everything... But I will be looking to get things into range 15 and unload, like, loads of bolts at them. You know, so the five spearmen, the four crosswomen, and even the witch elves actually are part of it, and the bolt throwers, they will form brigades. Depending on the game situation, who I'm playing against, how they form those brigades, whether I have to hold the witch elves back to stop them charging off when I don't want them to,
yeah.
Or do I form them as two units by themselves to slam forward into and like go for something, you know, and like try to charge them off to do the most damage. What are they going to attack? The Dark Riders, to me, I love that brigade. As like, you know, and if they get round the flank somewhere, they get on the flank of another brigade, they can really hurt it.
They should do. They've got enough movement and enough leadership.
Yeah, yeah, by firing so much into the corner unit of another brigade that they'll definitely confuse it and cause casualties. Like almost, you know, like they should do. And then they can, you know, they can just...
It's not as easy as you think to get multiple units within 15.
No, it's not. I mean, you probably get one or two, like,
and then one out of the stand.
But they still all fire. Should do enough. It depends. You know, and the Colwyn Knights are there with a Command 10 General are there to, you know, maybe they act on their own. Like, you know, the brigade together, but they're not firing.
They'll probably have to be your counterpunch.
They're counterpunch, yeah. So, Yeah, and I've increased the break, you know, to, you know, so I have a decent amount of break for an elf army to take some casualties as well. The harpies again will be looking to, they'll probably play a role of jumping behind units to be pushed into that kind of, you know, so when the witch elves come into something, to try and make it one round of combat, there'll be a unit of harpies behind waiting to catch the enemy, hopefully with that win, so I don't have to take another round of combat with the witch elves. And also that might then reduce where the witch elves can actually go as well, which is quite, you know, tunnel them in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
blink of them.
I haven't gone for this Barry's scepter because I don't think I'm going to roll a double six.
What?
That's to say, like dark elves, you risk more. So I think it's only 3% chance. I'm not going to do it. So it won't happen.
That's only if you roll one set of dice in the whole game. Generally, you roll more than one set of command.
But exactly. Like, you have to be careful with all the orders you do give because you are obviously risking that. The Sorceress's spell deck, like, there's so much shooting in the army that... You know, she will have opportunity. There will be an opportunity to direct a Doombolt in to cause a casualty to make lose a stand.
Yeah.
Like I see that as her. That is the. You know, to begin with, she's going to have to be on command detail and ordering stuff. But there is definitely a place for her. Once is that she could be looking around for where do I need to do an extra wound to something to, you know, like cause her or like Dominion, which is only a 4+ to cast. And if I have to make it a wand of power, I can make it a 3+ to cast. So say my Dark Riders get into the flank of a brigade and they mow up one unit and they don't want the other unit to charge them. In comes her, she puts Dominion on them and then stops them charging and then the Dark Riders can continue firing again and again. I mean, it doesn't have the robustness of Barry's list, you know, like, but, you know.
Redundancy.
Or like, whatever you want to call it. Like,
I'm
going to
train
Colwyn
my cold ones for your cold ones and then.
Yeah.
I'll have four cold ones.
Then we'll see you, sir.
And you won't have any cold ones.
I can see with this build here, it'll do great against some armies. Your little armor armies, it'll love. But against other lists, it will struggle. Like this would be very hard to play into your Lizardmen, for example. Yeah, that would be a difficult game. I can imagine because there'd be a lot of nasty stuff coming straight at me with good armour. It's like, but that's a Dark Elf list I like.
It's certainly a list. It's different to mine, which is good.
Yep.
Horses for causes. It's good that you can build different lists.
Well, exactly. And you know, and I could also see a build which has a lot of infantry in it. You could go that way. You could try that.
They are very expensive, the cold ones. And you are spending a lot of money on six of them. But
you
can't have everything.
So... it's a tier one army, isn't it?
There's no doubt about it.
There's no doubt about it.
As long as you take the scepter.
No, you don't.
If you don't take the scepter, I'm not giving it tier one.
All right, okay, so...
It's not reliable enough, is it?
I suppose.
You only need one bad roll and you're in a world of shit.
Yeah, but I won't make that bad roll.
Well, at least you don't have a manticore.
No, I mean, that was where you could play around the points. I did think about that, but if I'm not mitigating the chances of it, no, it's a liability. Like, losing a manticore
like 10%
hero.
Of your army
oh my god, yeah, like that would be bad.
A third of your leadership.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Mm-hmm. I really like the Dark Elves. They did a good job here with the Dark Elves compared to the High Elves in terms of. The light and the dark, the two sides of a coin, like how the army lists
are. See, this is when I think, without being too kind of negative,
yep.
Mr. Negative that I am, yep. This is when I think they were doing their best work.
Yes, yeah.
Before too many fingers got put in the pie and too many chefs were involved cooking the broth.
Yeah.
If you look at how few changes there are
yep.
to this list compared to the High Elf list, there are some changes. Yep. But it's not massive. They've still got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Just eight entries. Yeah, yeah. The three characters.
Yep.
They've got little bits of changes on spells and stuff. But it plays completely different.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
High Elves.
Yeah.
Completely
yeah.
different.
Yeah, yeah. I think, from those small changes. To me, the best thing about it in terms of like how the army in the fluff can compared to the game is this Dark Elf general killing his own subordinates.
Superb.
Which is unique. No other general does that. Like no other army list has a problem of I'm going to kill my own characters, and it plays great into how the darker side of their fluff.
Yeah.
You know, and it's great for the game. It's great for the army list. It's like,
and the list is not flabby.
No.
Doesn't have like 20 different fucking infantry entries. It's got what? How many infantry? 1, 2, 3.
Three.
Perfect.
Yeah, three.
One more than High Elves.
And yeah.
Two cavalry, flyer. Mm-hmm. Monster, bolt, artillery.
Yeah. Because you could definitely, like, there's enough Dark Elf in Thinking Old Warhammer. There's certainly other elite units, like the Black Guard of Naggaroth, the
Corsairs,
Executioners, the Corsairs. They did Corsair models, which are just alternative spearmen.
Yeah,
because that's the thing. It's like, there is enough in the fluff to have different types of unit, but they don't need to be in there.
We've done this with High Elves.
Exactly.
High Elves could have had like 6 bits in infantry.
They had two.
Crossbowmen and bowmen and spearmen. That's
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But that's how the army works.
Yeah.
You don't need 500 different infantry units.
No, you do not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Unless they've got a specific role to do, like goblins.
Goblins.
All these goblins. Just to make up the numbers.
Okay. Right. Well, that's our podcast.
Yeah, so we've got some contact details to do.
Yep.
We're back getting miniatures, so I've got to sneak some in for here. We're getting pretty near now. Thank Christ. So the Jungle Lob is done, and the Greenlings are half done. 4 of the 6 production molds are done. I've got 2 more to do. But I have a holiday coming up, so that's going to be...
I'm going to quickly sneak a look at at these models.
Greenling models.
Greenlings.
So 2 of the molds have done. I've run the Greenlings, and 2 more I'm going to finish today, the production of, and then we've just got to get 2 more moulds done and the production done. But it's unlikely I'm going to be able to ship before I go away in early April, so I'll have to ship when I get back.
Are you going to issue out...
Just because it takes too much time...
Are you going to issue out apologies?
This is a constant apology. I live my life in permanent apology. It's because I'm a good Catholic.
So have you sent out... The ogres of the people...
That didn't have greenness.
Didn't have greenness.
Yeah, all of them are gone.
Yeah.
But the problem is that you've got to... In order to ship...
Yeah.
You've got to pack everything into the boxes.
Yeah.
Weigh them.
Yeah.
Work out the postage. Yeah. Invoice the postage. And any extras people have bought. And then wait for it to come back. And that process is like way too involved to try and do while you're packing for holiday and then like leaving.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
You need like a good week to just sit on your computer because they come in constantly.
Yeah.
And you have to ship when they come in.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them, people say, ship me my stuff.
Yeah.
And I invoiced them like 3 weeks ago and it's still sat in the... There's still stuff sat from the first Kickstarter.
Really?
So what can I do?
Well... I guess you said
Kickstarter. Kickstarter's bizarre, man. Maybe people die, or people change email, or people move on, or whatever. People back Kickstarters and don't even claim their stuff.
That is a strange one to me. That is a strange one.
Yeah, well, shit happens. Anyway, so you can get us on the Facebook page, warmaster.podcast, googlemail.com.
In terms of the events, Barry, I booked the... Book the lead for Stirling.
Stirling.
So me and Janice are going to that, and when we work out how we're getting there and what we're doing, I'll let you know if you want to come.
Okay. Christoph's talking about doing a Belgium event.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's public. Sorry, Christoph. Oh, you have to pull your finger out now, fella.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to do. I'd love to go there.
Because that's really quick.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
only like a couple of hours.
Yeah. That would be awesome. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Ferry or train. Mm-hmm. And then, a couple of hours drive.
And we have the mighty London GT rolling round. The organisers of that have started chatting to me about scenery. I've been giving them specifications for what I want them to build.
Okay, good. Rather than me.
Yeah, and also they have been asking about like what unique things we like. Like I suggested, oh, those Spellcrowd towers. I had an idea of getting one of them each for a table for the tower scenario.
Right, yeah.
And like actually, they're supporting the event. So they've gone to them and asked, like, can we have have that? So that might be the case. Every table might have a little Spellcrow tower to be A, used for scenery, and B, for one of the scenarios.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Capture the tower.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Right. Well, that was episode 89 of the Warmaster Podcast. There'll be one more next week, and then there'll be a couple of weeks off.
Yep. Perfect.
Okay. All right. Good night, everyone.
Night.
Would you like to know more?